I don't want to sound like Obama, but and I hope I don't. But you know, change is something that really we kind of got caught up in, and seems like we're always wanting change. You're always wanting something different. And you know, a woman told her daughter one day, said, "Honey," said, "don't trust any man who says trust me." And that may be true. I think when I didn't elect him, but he got elected. Our president got elected. I think he was saying, you know, just trust me. I'll take care of things. But you find this in all areas of life. You find this in business. You find it in investments and personal relationships and even some religions. You find the problem of not being able to trust those who are supposed to be trustworthy. Congress has proved this. Our president, to some degree, has proved this. And so we got change that we wasn't asking for in America. But you probably remember this, but back a few months ago, there was a federal judge named David Hamilton here in Indiana, and he ruled it was unconstitutional to offer prayer in Jesus' name. I don't know whether you remember that or not, but he made that ruling. And but yet at the same time said that it was all right to pray in the name of, let's see, what was it, some Muslim name. What do they call their God?
Allah.
Yeah, and Allah. See, it was all right to pray in his name because that was a generic name for God. And so anyway, the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals overturned that. And it's, you know, it's kind of interesting, though. This David Hamilton now sits on the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and will be there for life. There are just a lot of things that's going on. And we're always asking for change, but Jesus says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I say I'm very thankful and grateful that he's one that does not change. We humans, we're always looking for something. I was thinking this week, and I'm just going to take this lesson and talk to you, and I've kind of titled it, "What If Jesus Had Not Come?" What if he had not come? And I got to thinking about all the difference in the world would be if Jesus Christ had not come. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, I want to start reading just a couple verses there. It says, "And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying." I was thinking about if Jesus had not come, they would not be the bread of life, the teachings of the Bible, the Word of God that Jesus taught us. I'm so glad, I'm so thankful and grateful that the Son of God did come. Notice right after that, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And you could just go on and on and on. And the wonderful, wonderful teachings that form the principles for our life. And thank God that he's here. In fact, over in the 6th chapter of Matthew, if you'll turn over there, the 19th verse says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's a tremendous, tremendous principle of life. And just think, if Jesus Christ had not have come, we would have never heard those precious words. God says in life, now this is him speaking, it's not the preacher, it's him speaking. He said, don't lay up treasures on this earth, but lay them up in heaven. That's a principle that God is teaching in his word, and it's something that we ought to follow completely and fully. Amen? I mean, if he said it, should not we follow it? Sure. And that's that comes from the Son of God. Just think about it. We'd have never, ever heard that if Jesus Christ had not have come. There is just so many, many things that he taught. In fact, let's go over to the book of John. Book of John, the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. Tenth chapter of the book of John. I'm going to start reading at verse number 7. It says, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and they shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. You know, Jesus said there and stated that he is the door. He's the door to heaven. And just think about that. Without Christ, there would have been no door to heaven. But he is the absolute only door to heaven. And just think about that for a few moments. If he had not come, there would have not been any door that we could enter in. He said that we might have life and might have it more abundantly. And what would life be without Jesus Christ? Just think about it there for a few minutes. You know, what would it be without the Son of God, you see? And thank God that he certainly did come. In fact, if we'll just kind of read after that, he tells us that he is the shepherd. He tells us in verse number 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. Jesus is not only just the door to heaven, but he's the shepherd that watches over us and cares for us and sees to our needs and protects us and takes care of us. My goodness sakes, he goes on to say, but he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. He goes on to tell us, yes, there's hirelings out there. There's those who want to pretend they are the shepherd, but they're not the shepherd. Jesus Christ is that wonderful shepherd that day by day we can put our life in his hands and know that he cares for us and will watch over us. That's a tremendous, tremendous truth of the Bible. Without Jesus Christ, we would not have that. He goes on and he says, the hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. But he says again, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Think about that. The shepherd laid down his life for us. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, he came for the Jews, but he said, I have another group, another people there, another fold that I must bring also. And that was we Gentiles. And thank God that he included us into the great promises of God. And he says then, he said, verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, Jesus says, no one took my life. I could have stopped that. No, no, no. He says, I laid it down for you and me. What a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ did. I don't know if you're encouraged through the Thanksgiving time or not, and Christmas time, but well, we got a lot to be encouraged by. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came, laid down his life. I don't know that everyone in here is saved. I just kind of, you know, you just kind of take for granted, but boy, if you're not, please trust Jesus and get saved. Put your faith in him, the wonderful, wonderful Son of God. Then, of course, in chapter 10 of John, look at verse 27. He says, my sheep, well, let me read verse 26. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know, that's one of the verses that I use whenever I've led someone to the Lord. I usually turn to John 10:27 and begin there and begin to read, because the Bible says, if you believe in him, you become one of his sheep and you follow him. He's the shepherd and you follow him. See, I'm not trying to judge. I just have trouble with people who say they're saved and they're not following Jesus. Because Jesus says, they follow me. Amen? I mean, we may not do a great big good job of it sometimes, but listen, the word of God, Jesus, is true, and he says, you follow me. Amen? See, that's why Maxine's having trouble with this. She knows it's a hard, difficult thing, and it's not right. She's wanting to follow the Lord. She's wanting to forgive. You see, that's a good thing, Maxine, that you brought that out. You're not trying to hide it. You're just being open with it. And we would be better off if all of us would be open with our sin. Now, I'm talking about not doing it, but admitting that we have it and want something done about it. And Jesus is the one who can do something about it. He's the one. He's a wonderful, wonderful Savior. And then he says in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, and I and my Father are one. You think about that, and he says, you'll never, ever, 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 ever perish. That's a tremendous, tremendous truth, folks. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will never, ever, 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 ever go to hell. Promise of God. See, why? Because we're in the Father's hand. Now, who's going to take us out of the Father's hand? Amen. And that all has happened because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died for our sins. Amen? Amen. You see, if he hadn't have come, we'd all just be lost and just really a very much of a mess in life. See, but Jesus did come, and so let's turn one more place over in John, the 14th chapter of John. 14th chapter. We have the promise, because Jesus come, we have the promise of afterlife. You know, you've probably heard down through, and I know if you know the Lord, you're not having any problem with this, but I'm just saying, you hear people talk, you know, about the afterlife, and is there really something? Well, you and I know there is. You know that, and I know that, because of what the Lord Jesus has told us. Look in verse 1 of chapter 14. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." You see, Jesus told us, he told the disciples, he was getting them ready for his death. And he was telling them, don't let your heart be troubled. That same statement goes not only for the disciples, but it goes for us. We don't have to be troubled. Why? Because he said, "I've gone off to prepare a place for you. There's many mansions in my Father's house." And he said, see, that's a promise that Jesus gave us. He's went to prepare a place for us. And he has that place prepared, ready for us, see. And he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again." He says, "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." You see, he says and is promising us that we will be with him. We'll be where he's at. That's a tremendous, tremendous encouragement and comfort to our hearts. And of course, he said, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas said unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Said he was telling them, "You've seen the Father because you've seen me." It's what Jesus was saying to them, you see. And so again, what a wonderful promise of the afterlife. There's no doubt about it. Boy, there's a lot of troubles in this life, isn't there? A lot of troubles and heartaches and turmoils and all kinds of things. They're here, but when the rapture happens or God takes us on, that's all over. It's in the past, and we'll be with the Lord Jesus just forever. So, you know, the world without Jesus would be a terrible, terrible time of uncertainty, be troubled times. And there would be no hope whatsoever beyond the grave. Once you'd went into the grave, it would all be over. But no, Jesus came. Jesus came, and he promised the resurrection. I turn over to the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul writing here by the inspiration of the Lord. So in verse 13, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, says, "But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen." He said, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. And then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Well, wouldn't that be an awful thing to think about? All of those that have already fallen asleep in Christ would perish, and there would be no resurrection, there would be no life. You see? And he says, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But listen to this wonderful verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. But for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, it's just a wonderful, wonderful promise. Why did all of that happen? Why do we have these promises? Because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why. It's completely because of him. I suppose maybe you have had some thinking about Christmas, and one of the reasons I just kind of wanted to do this before Christmas, next week and the next week after that, we have other speakers that's going to be doing the Sunday school. I think Brother Epley will be here, and Brother Sheldon Smith will be here, and I just kind of wanted to take a few moments and just talk to you about the Christmas season and what it's become. I suppose you think about it. I suppose you do. I think back as a boy and what Christmas was. I'm sure many of you do too. Think about what it was when you was growing up and the difference in Christmas today. And it is different. It's been so commercialized. And I really don't know what to say to describe it. But it's something that is just that it should not be. You find mainly about Christmas now, you find the big piles and mountains of wrapping paper after Christmas is over, and children saying, "Is that all?" And I think of the shame of that, not to the children, not really, because they've been induced in this. They've been just led into it. That's what they know. And I just think it's just really, really a shame. Where are people going to hear the real story of Christmas? Where are they going to hear it? Now, I am sure that if you're out somewhere, you maybe have heard the real story. You may have been somewhere where there's some wonderful Christmas music, and maybe you hear it. But Donna and I went to Terre Haute on Black Friday. And we really made some big purchases, you know. No, we didn't. We mainly just goofed around and had a good time. And but I want to tell you, in any of the stores that I was in, I saw nothing about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm just telling you. And I'm saying it to you, that is wrong. That is wrong. This is about the wonderful Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary and was born there in a manger in Bethlehem. That's what this thing is about. It's not about all of these stores full of gifts and all of that. And I am not against you getting gifts. I'm just saying it's just become something that it should not have ever become. And I want to just kind of challenge you, you and I, to get out the truth of the story of just Jesus Christ this Christmas. Let's talk about his birth. Let's talk about his life, the perfect life of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about his death. for the sins of all of the world. Let's talk about his burial, for he was buried. Amen? And then let's talk about his resurrection, that he rose from the dead, and that he's coming again. That's the message that needs to be gotten out. Now, I know the world is not going to do that, but I sometimes wonder how we, as God's people, have kind of fallen into the trap of just keeping our mouths shut. Just because the world has decided to shut off that wonderful message does not mean we should. Amen? I mean, don't you agree with that? Who is going to tell the real story of Jesus Christ? You see, we'll come here to church and we'll hear about it here. Our preacher will preach about it and we'll hear about the truth of him dying. But you go outside those doors and you don't hear it much. See, I'm just kind of complaining a little bit today. And I'm just convinced that we have shut up because the world wouldn't like us doing it, so we keep our mouths shut, and that is wrong. Doesn't make any difference what the world likes. We need to get forth the message of the truth that Jesus Christ was born, and he lived a perfect life, and he died, was buried, and he rose again, and is coming again. We need to get that message out. That's and I guess, like I said, I kind of did this before, you know, Christmas, so that maybe I can just challenge you. Because I think we need challenged, and to get forth a message. And there's opportunities that God gives us in stores and other places and people we meet and maybe cards we send. You understand what I'm saying? We need to get that message of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells me that Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen? Yes, he does. See, little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. See, wonderful message. I love to hear that little song. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. And we need to get those truths to a lost world. And boy, I'm telling you, this old nation of ours is in dire straits. And we need to get the true message of Jesus Christ out. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. See, that's where our hope is. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen. See, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other is sinking sand. You understand? And if we don't get that message out, who's going to? Now, some of you may be saying to me, Brother Ross, I don't know if I can do that or not. Yes, you can. And in fact, you're instructed, and so am I, in the Bible, to get out the message. That's what we're instructed to do that, every single one of us. What are we afraid of? I mean, really, what are we afraid of? That someone's going to not like us for giving out the message of Christ? You understand what I'm saying? I'm just trying to challenge you. Okay? I'm just trying to challenge you a little bit. Let's go over to the book of Luke, the second chapter of the book of Luke. I'm going to start reading at verse number 10, and I want you to listen to this story. This is the story that actually saved your soul. I know this is not the truth of the death and burial, but it's the beginning. It's the beginning. It's the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Did you notice that? All people. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Did you realize that is the message of Christmas? That's the message of Christmas. It's not this worldly, materialistic world out there. This is the message of Christmas, that Jesus Christ was born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See, and he says, "And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." See, that's the message. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You see, it's about God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another," well, let us go home and set up a tree and give each other gifts. Not hardly. No, he said, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." You see, they made known abroad the saying. They went out and taught it. This is concerning the child, Jesus Christ. You see, and they took that message. "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." You think about that, and people are not wondering today about that message because the message is not getting out. Amen. It's just not getting out. Now, folks, I'm not saying that you're not getting it out. I'm just saying majority of Christians in America is not getting out the true message of Christmas. And that's the Savior was born, the Son of God. Amen. And that's the message we're commanded to get out. He says in verse 19, "But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them." We'll stop reading there, but just take this challenge. Please take this challenge and take every opportunity that you and I can have to get forth the true message of Christmas. Understand? Will you at least pray about that and do your best to spread forth that message? And take a bunch of tracts with you as you go and hand them out and give them to people and ask them to read them. And, you know, we just have a wonderful Savior, folks. Amen. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he's soon coming again. Amen. We want to be faithful, okay? Now, if you can show me somewhere where God tells us in his word to go and spend our time and energies on the materialistic world and lay up treasures on this earth and not in heaven, I wish you'd bring your Bible and show me that. Okay? And you can then prove to me that I'm wrong. But that's not going to happen. Amen? You understand what I'm saying? So let's do our very, very best to get the message of Jesus Christ out. Don't be afraid of their faces. They're just people who need the message of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I sure thank you again today for your wonderful grace. Thank you that Jesus came. And Lord, help each one of us to get that message out as we come near this time called Christmas. Please help us get that message out, Lord, year round, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and he died, Lord, for our sins, was buried and rose again, and is soon coming again. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.